Nearly 40 years ago, I promised the Lord that anytime I'm asked to speak, that's the song I should sing. And God has tremendously blessed me to be able to sing that song on every occasion. I take this opportunity to greet the Holy Spirit. I greet my lovely family in Jesus' name. I thank the leadership for allowing me to stand before you to say, thus saith the Lord. The first Sabbath of January of this year, Pastor D, she came over to me and she said, I would like you to speak. And she gave me a date. She said, I would like you to speak on the 8th of March of 2025. So I went home and I laid on my bed. And what came to me was Job chapter 1. I hadn't studied the Sunday school lesson, but I'm showing you the faithfulness of God. And I want you to know God knows everything. And I'm going to just give you a testimony of how I got saved. I was on my way to the pub, and I was going to see a friend of mine play darts. I was a dart. Oh, I love darts. Now it's the other way around. I can't stand the game, but I love Jesus. And as I was heading towards the pub where the game were played, I heard the voice of God, Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. I looked around, I couldn't see anyone. And about 10 minutes after that, a car drove up and he shouted to me, Ollie. I looked into the car and it was a guy I hadn't seen for many years. We were drinkers together in the same pub that I was going to. And he wound the window down and he said to me, would you like to come to a prayer meeting? I said, what? Because I knew him in the world. I said, prayer meeting, who? Anyway, I said, did you call me? He said, no. He said, I was far back there when you heard that voice. Anyway, something inside of me said to me, well, in those days, the young people, they wouldn't understand this. There were no texting, no phones. So I couldn't tell the guy that I wouldn't be there that night. So anyway, this chap, he talked me into coming. And I decided, okay, I'll go. And I will never forget, she preached. She didn't preach from St. John 3:16. She preached from Psalm 9. For the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9, verse 17. So I decided, okay, I'll go. And as I was there was no one there knew me. I didn't know anyone. And anyway, there was a seat, just one seat. And it was right in front of a mirror. So I sat down examining myself, how handsome I was. And all of a sudden, the lady went to another time on a tangent and said, there's a young man here. Now, this is 40 years ago. There's a young man here who needs Jesus. And she exposed me. She said, there's a young lady that he needs to see tonight. I bind her feet in Jesus' name. Anyway, I went forward and I knelt down and she prayed for me. And it was one of these old-fashioned. She said, Lord, put a hook in his jaw And she was telling God how to hold me. And she was saying to God, God, you're not holding him good. Put the hook to the right and put, and there's me now on my knees. And you know something? I felt the presence of God. And from that day, that was the 27th of November, 1981, at 9 o'clock. Put your hands together for Jesus. I never believed that on the 8th of March, 2025, I would have been standing here beside you. As you know, I died. I died from the 25th of January till the 8th of February, 2024. God is still raising the dead. He's not dead. He's still alive. And I know without a shadow of doubt that God has a work for me to do. And my intention is to do it. So my sister, she read a scripture. And I've always appreciated Job. Job is one of the strangest books in the Bible. Now, I came to England in 1960, and in 1971, I went home on holiday to Barbados, the most beautiful country in the world. That's my opinion, yeah? And as I went to see my old house, I went to my next door neighbor to say hello. Now, you're going to wonder, why has this got to do with Job? I'll tell you why. As I knocked on her door, if I'm allowed to speak in Barbadian, yeah? A lady said to me, are you Dora Farah's son? Obviously, me with my English. Said, yes, I am. So she called her husband, Sonny, come and see Arlie. He in England. He was in England, but now he comes to see us. That's the way she spoke. Now, I've used that illustration to show you in Job, no one has heard of Job. But God, my topic today is God's faithfulness. And when you talk about God's faithfulness, you cannot be faithful in one thing and not something else. So my topic today is integrity. It's something that is not spoken a lot about. Integrity in our government, nil. In our leadership, nil. And if I want to be honest, even in the church sometimes, we lack integrity. Now, I'm a loud and proud a preacher. And what I like about God have a sense of humor. God called a stammering man like me to deliver his people. That's the way you would have thought that God would have taken a well-educated, well-spoken, know-it-all man. He took a man who had a stammer, but he knew God. So today I want to speak on the topic of Job. Now, Job was a man who loved God. Now, we have a saying that says nobody is perfect. That's a lie. Because if you are saying nobody is perfect, you're rejecting what God has said. God said that Job had integrity, he had intelligence, and most of all, he loved God. God called him to do a specific job. And his job was to show what the presence of God meant. Now, One of the things about Job was, no, I used my illustration when I was back home in Barbados. Nobody knew Job in the area. Now Job came, if you study Job, it says there was a man called Job. Where were his parents? The Bible never told us about his parents. But Job had a wife. Job was a very busy man. Job had 10 children. So he didn't have time for TV. And Job's children, the Bible doesn't say that Job's children were saved. Job's children were not saved. And what used to happen was, every time there was a birthday, and there were 7 birthdays a year. So every time there was a birthday, they would have a party. Now, I like to bring my word up to date. They were playing reggae music, and everybody was dancing. And Job, by the Spirit of God, God told Job, you better pray for your children because they're having a good time. Having a good time doesn't mean in the presence of God. When I was in the world, Lord have mercy, I used to have a good time out of God. Actually, I've had more problems since I got saved than when I was in the world. Because when you're in the world, you can do what you like. You can say what you like. You can behave as it pleases you. There was a song that you used to say, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself. Those of us in my age group would remember that song. But enjoying yourself can also lead to serious problems. When I was a youngster, my wife is here, so I have to behave myself. I was a womanizer. That was me. And I had a sugar, my tongue was sugared. And the reason I was going to the pub was there was a young lady there that I heard was going to go because her cousin was going to play a dart, so she would have gone to have seen him. But God spoke to a young lady to tell that same old lady, to tell that young lady not to show up. And you know, when they prayed for me, the vision came to pass. And that's the way I got saved. Now, with Job having his children and parents, we need to pray for our children. God hears and answers prayer. I believe the biggest calamity in this nation is a university. That's my belief. 90% of our young people are not taught about God. If I had to take an exam for what I know now, if I had to take an exam, I'll fail because I will have to write what the word teaches. How many of us know, in the world, I used to sing a song, by the rivers of Babylon. Remember that? Where is it? Now, where is the area? Does anyone know? Come on. Iraq, Babylon. The Bible says that when the 3 Hebrew boys was in Jerusalem, I remember my gran had a couple of sons, and one of the sons was a seaman. So he came home one day and told his mother, Mom, the ship I was on unloaded in Jerusalem. She nearly killed him. How can you go to heaven? Because she thought Jerusalem was in heaven. We also, some of the songs I don't sing. I'll be honest, some of the songs I don't sing. We sing a song, Roll Jordan, Roll. I can't wait to get to heaven to hear Old Jordan roll. That is rubbish. Jordan is not in heaven. Jordan is the in Africa. I see myself as not just a preacher, but also a teacher. The church needs to read. Now, Job was in Ur. Does anyone know where Ur is? In Iraq. So God used a man from Iraq to bring the news. The sad thing about it was Job had three friends, and he had somehow his friends heard about Job's illness. And these friends decided, and I don't know how they knew, but they lived in Syria. They heard that Job was sick. So they decided to visit Job. But there was a conspiracy. When they got to Job's house, now, if you can imagine, someone come to look for you, and for 7 days and seven nights, all they did was they shook their heads. And they said to Job, you must have done something to be in this condition. My next topic is the great debate. Now Satan got kicked out of heaven, and he is roaming the earth today. Now, our educated people are talking about mental illness. I do not believe it. There's no such thing. But that is what the universities are telling us. Satan is roaming the earth, and he works through high blood pressure, diabetes, illnesses that God has not created. Now, I want you to know that Satan knows everything that God knows. My wife lives in the same house as I do, and she knows everything that I do. When Satan was in heaven, he knew everything that God had planned. Now, the debate is between God and Satan. God, I find it hard to believe this issue. God spoke to Satan, and God said to Satan, this is the great debate. As a person, I like to debate. I love an argument. I will argue from morning till night. That's my calling. God spoke to Satan and said, Satan, I'm just going to paraphrase it. What are you doing on earth? And Satan answered, there was a debate between Satan and God. Satan answered God. Satan spoke to God. What a nerve. Satan said to God, I've been walking up and down the earth seeking whom I can devour. And this is the part that I like. Satan did not go to Job's wife. Now, the word misogynistic is a new word that has only been placed in the dictionary since 1962. Now, if you stand up for the male species, they say that you are anti-women. I am not anti-women. But when I look to the scriptures, God always spoke to the head of the home, and that's the male. Doesn't sound too good. God could have gone to Job's wife. And I tell people, do you know what? It was not the male in the Bible of Genesis. It was not the man who sinned. Don't stone me. It was Eve that brought sin into this world. Now, I know we've got a lawyer here, so please don't sue me. So then God asked Satan, what are you doing? And God knows all of us. God knows what clothes we wear, what car we drive, whether we talk to our children. God knows everything. So does Satan. God then said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He has integrity. And God said to Satan, I give Job into your hands. Do whatever you like to him, but don't take his life. Now, Satan can give life. If God didn't think that Satan can give life, he would not have told Job, he would not have told Satan not to take his life. Now, in a short space of time, Job was extremely rich. Actually, the Bible says he was the richest man in the East. And that's not East in England. This was in East in Africa. So instantly, an angel came and destroyed the cattle. The next step was he destroyed the house that Job lived. Now, when you look at Job was the richest man in his time. The wealth that we have today is far below the wealth that we see in Job's time. Now, when you see that Job's integrity, God was so sure of Job that God said to Satan, touch him, do whatever you like with him, but don't take his life. Satan's answer was, the reason that Job served you is because you've blessed him. You've given him a mansion, you've given him a lot of cattle. Satan then said to God, take all that he has and he will curse you. He will curse you face to face. Now, this is where integrity comes in. Now, Satan thought that if Job was weak, he would have adhered to what Satan did. So Satan allowed the animals. Now, Job was so rich. I studied to keep one camel, a camel drinks 20 gallons of water a day. And Job has thousands. So can you imagine the amount of water? to feed sheep is not cheap. Job must have had vets, because when you got animals, you must have a vet, because animals fall sick. But the integrity of Job stood on what God had promised. The Bible said, God himself said, I am the Lord God, and in him you should believe. So with Job's children, so with all the cattle died, now the Bible says that a strong wind from heaven came, blew the house down, and killed all his children. Now Job has lost his property. The children that he prayed for is now dead. And now Job has turned sick. Well, I'll tell you, when I was ill, my Lord, I complained. I mourned to Sister Jan, my wife. Every minute I had something wrong with me. Now, can you think, just think for a moment, all the cattle that you've had are gone. The house that you cherish has been blown down. And on top of that, Satan allowed Job to have boils all over. Now, if one of our children died, we pined. Job made a statement, and this, remember this, God did not say this. Now, we have to understand when God says something and when man says something. God says, Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. That was not God's statement. That was from Job. Job, in his humility, made that statement. And as Job's friends came to see him, they sat down for 7 days. Now, can you imagine? Your friends hear that you are sick. They come to see you. And for 7 days and seven nights, they just shook their head. Now, with me, I'm quite short-tempered. I would have thrown them out through the window. I would have done. But it showed you the humility of a servant of God. And Job then said, I have brought nothing into this world, and it is surely I can take nothing out. Now, in Barbados, there's a tradition that when a person dies, they bring the body to the house, and all the close friends will come to visit and look at the box. And all his close friends would bring a bottle of rum and put in the box. Whether this story is, that's a tradition. May God help all traditions. And I heard, whether this was true or not, I don't know, but I'll tell you. One of the close friends of the deceased came in, looked in the box. The box was twice as heavy when they put the bottle of rums in. So one guy put his hand in the coffin, took out a bottle of the rum, and said, Mr. So-and-so, when you're ready to drink, I'll drink with you. Now that was a tradition. Job was not operating on a tradition. Job operated on his integrity. I believe even in our churches, we are lacking integrity. We sometimes, even though we don't agree with it, we condone it. I preach at Speaker's Corner quite a few times, and a lot of the things that was said, I did not reject. It was wrong, but in order to keep quiet, or in order for my safety, I kept quiet. Sometimes we have to, regardless of our circumstances, we have to stand for God. When we reach heaven, God is not going to ask you or tell you, why did you accept what you heard? Even sometimes lots of people say to me, oh, you shouldn't judge. That's not true. The Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. Who is the house of God? We are. If I see somebody doing wrong, I'm not waiting for God to tell you. I will tell you. Because that's our job as Christians. What I've noticed is when people do things that are wrong, we know they're wrong, but to keep a relationship going, we let it carry on. For those of you who know me well, I stand for God. It does not bring you closer to a friendship, but it brings you closer to a relationship with God. God was able to tell Satan, have you tried my servant Job? He is a righteous, upright, and listen to the next word. Not only is he righteous and upright, but he's perfect. So we need to stop this nonsense about nobody is perfect, because you are denying the cross of Calvary. God, the Bible tells us, in the fivefold ministry, he gave some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that we all come into the what? The perfection of the body of Christ. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be what? And be who? Come on, you can talk to me. Walk before me and be what? Being perfect is not being blameless. I get angry sometimes, but I can be angry and sin not. If my wife says something and I don't agree with it, I'll debate it. But it has to be based on what the word of God has said. I want to encourage you today. The blood of Jesus Christ has perfected us. So stop this nonsense about nobody is perfect. If you are believing that we are not perfect, you are not accepting the work on Calvary. Sometimes we testify, do you know, before the 27th of November 1981, God knows nothing about me before that. The Bible says he has put them in the sea of forgetfulness. I remember them. God doesn't. And that's what I love about my faith. Everything that I've done wrong, or everything that we have done wrong, you have to go down the bottom of the sea and find it. I want to encourage you, church. I've studied Islam. I've studied Hinduism. You name all the isms. I haven't exactly studied them all. But the faith in Jesus is the greatest faith that we can have. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us. At home, I do the, well, I hope my wife doesn't get angry. I do the washing up. I don't cook. Well, I can cook, but you can't eat it. I wouldn't advise you to anyway. But when I do the washing up, if Jan is going to use a plate, she will inspect it. And if they got a slightest spot on it, Jesus has made us spotless. So when people tell you things that you did in 1926 or from 1945 to 1971, to God is irrelevant. Church, we have been perfected by God. And if God can't make us perfect, nobody can. Walk in his perfection. Does that mean I can't? Of course you can get angry. I remember when I first came to this church, I was quite active in my last church. I did all the baptisms. I did the finances. I taught the baptismal classes. I taught the evangelism. And I wanted a change, or God wanted a change in my life. And I started to come to this church, and I salute you, Elder, and all the leadership. And I remember I came to this church. It was the first Sabbath on November 9th, 2022. And I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And I met an excellent man of God. You see, people say, oh, you shouldn't be big up people. The Bible said, give honor where honor is due. I will honor my people. So I want to thank you, Elder, and all the elders, and also my friend, Mark. Mark is this isn't an ordained a position, but I thank God for Mark. Mark took me home. But after every service, and I went home, John would be upstairs, and I would say, I'm home. Here comes the day, the answer. Your dinner's in the microwave. Not how was the service? Did you meet anybody? Just my dinner is in the microwave. And anyway, I you know what? Sometimes, please don't misunderstand me on this statement. Sometimes we need to keep quiet when God is dealing with something. Because sometimes we tell God what we want. And this went on for a number of months. And every Sabbath, I enjoyed the service. I enjoyed the food. I enjoyed the hospitality. And Mark would take me home. And as soon as I hit the door, I said, Lord, help me. Watch over my mouth. Because I all stammerers are short-tempered. I've learned that. And as soon as I got in, as I said, a statement, isn't how are you? Did you get anything from the message? Your dinner's in the microwave. But I give God thanks. And I came, and the first week I came, my sister sung, and I was blessed. And I'm saying to God, you know what? My dinner might be in the microwave, but I'm going back next week. And one Sabbath morning, I made my wife a cup of tea. Very English, my wife, when it comes to tea and toast. So I made her a cup of tea, took it upstairs, and she was all dressed up. I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "Honey, I'm coming with you." Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. I never prayed about it. Sometimes we need to leave things to God. You know, when you are at work, you don't dictate to your manager what you want done. He deals with it. I kept quiet, ate my dinner, sat on the side of the bed, lips closed. And it's very seldom that my mouth is closed. But thank God. John, I stand up. I just thank God for her. I've been blessed with a lovely wife. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, and Jesus on her mind. I thank you all. I hope you all have learned something today. We don't look at what we have. We do not serve God for what we have. We serve him for who he is. If I was to count my blessings, when I studied the scriptures, I've cut it short, I've cut out a lot. But when I count my blessings, it would take me at least 20 hours to tell you how much God has blessed my family. On the night that God told me to get married to Jan, she wasn't saved. And I told God, I said, "God, I mean, what do you, you know, you're like, you don't know what you're saying." But on that same night, when God spoke to me and told me to marry Jan, that same night he went to her house. Now, I live in Milton Keynes. She lived in Harrow. The same night, the Lord saved her. I want you to know that God is faithful and God knows what he's doing. In Jesus' name. Will you all stand, and I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, even though I have shortened your word, Lord, I have told it in today's generation, a generation that has begun to reject your word, but is holding on to their possessions. Father, I pray that the light of the gospel will be preached, and that especially the men will come to you, and that these men will bring their families to know you, who is life, and give us unto us his eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.